Hi there, a quick note before the episode begins. Did you know that Mija has her own audiobook with exclusive and brand new material? It's called Mija Podcast, the audiobook, an exclusive and never-before-heard collection of memoirs and reflections by her creator, Lori Martinez, about what it meant to turn her own migration story into a fiction series. When you get Ochenta's audiobooks, you're directly supporting our independent audio series productions. You can find it on Libro.fm, Apple Books, Google Play, Storytel, BookBeat, and on your favorite audiobooks app. Also available in Spanish and French.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to Mija on the Mic. Welcome to this show where we are going to interview daughters of immigrants and immigrants themselves, people from all different backgrounds who are making moves in their industries around the world. Today, I'm so excited to invite mother of six, right?
Yes.
Six. home educator and digital content creator, Brenda Rivera Stearns. Brenda Stearns is the heart behind the social media account She Plus Five, which it's six now, right? And where she inspires women worldwide by sharing honest stories that make motherhood relatable, authentic, and beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us, Brenda.
Gracias. I'm so happy to be here. I'm so honored that you guys reached out to share my story. I'm really, really excited to be here. Thank you.
That's amazing. We're so excited to hear your story. Now, Mija is a show where we share immigrant stories through fiction and also highlighting, you know, the nuances that affect all the different members of a family, mothers, fathers, daughters, sons, who came, who stayed behind, and wherever they are in their journey generationally from their immigration. So to start off, I want to hear about what your family's immigration story is. What's your cultural background? What feels like home to you?
So I was born and raised in Mexico. I lived there until I was 12. When I was 12, I moved from Monterrey, Mexico to Minnesota. So it was a very drastic change. It was at the time, I guess I didn't really know it, but now as an adult looking back, I can tell that it was a very traumatic time for me. Just not really knowing the language, not really knowing the culture, not really knowing what to expect. I come from a single mom. I have three other sisters. So there's four of us, five females in the home total. And so, yeah, we were from hot weather to like snow and super cold was very, very hard. Going to high school for the first time was also extremely hard. Just the culture of high school in America versus like school in Mexico is very, very different. But yeah, so that's kind of like my history. Just born and raised in Mexico, Norteña. Just really, really proud of my heritage.
How old were you when you came?
12. It was at the end of 1999. I was 12 years old. I was about to turn 13 in March the following year.
Okay. And so that means that you had like a full understanding of Mexico before you came. And I imagine you felt a little bit like an outcast, no, in your school when you first kind of joined. How was that for you?
My goodness, it was really hard. You know, times have changed a lot. You're talking about like 23 years ago. I feel like the United States and the culture here, society as a whole, wasn't as inviting as it is right now. I think TikTok has played a big part on how people view other cultures, and there's more like diversity and more appreciation for people that look and act different than you know, the majority of Americans. But back then it was, I mean, you were made to feel that you did not belong. And people reminded you of that every single day of your life. So it was very, very difficult from like your English is weird or your accent is different or like little silly bullying jokes like, oh, what do you do in Mexico for Christmas? Do you decorate a cactus? And just different silly things like that, that people like just wanted to make sure that you knew you weren't like them.
And what helped you during that time to kind of adjust?
I think I've just always been a person that's very like strong in like my beliefs and in who I am. And so people's opinions of me hold no value to who I believe I am for myself. And that's something my mom taught me from a very young age. I feel like my mom is such a strong woman. And you know, that's like your typical Mexican mom who's like very strong and like no feelings shown and all of that. So I, especially her being as a single mom, she had to be twice as strong. And so I saw that and I kind of like internalized that. And I know that it affected me somehow, but at the time I kind of like put on a mask and was like, no, it's not going to affect me because I'm strong, because I know who I am. But like I said, now that I'm an adult and now that I have kids, like my oldest is 12. So she's at that age that I moved here and I like remember my life back then. And I'm like, wow, like that was a lot. That was a lot to deal with as a 12-year-old. And yeah, I'm just like really thankful that my daughter doesn't have to experience the same things that I experienced when I moved here.
And you, are you still in Minnesota?
No. So I lived in Minnesota for 10 years. And then after that, I moved to Georgia, where I lived for about a year, maybe a little bit less than that. And then I moved to Ohio. And what led me to Ohio is a completely different story on its own. I actually met my husband through an accidental text. I sent the text while I was in Georgia. I sent it to all my contacts. And then I got a text saying, amen to that. Who is this? And I'm like, hey, it's Brenda. You know, Roxy's sister. He's like, nope, my name's Isaiah Stearns. I don't think we've ever met. And that's really what started it all. He was living in Ohio. We were long distance for a little bit. And then I ended up moving to Ohio where I got married to him. And now we've been here for 14 years. I've officially lived in Ohio longer than anywhere else.
Cosas del destino, no?
Sí.
That's incredible. And you know, that's great that we're getting to that part of your life now. I would love for you to tell us a little bit about your journey in becoming a mom, because now you are a mom of numerous children.
Yes.
But I think it's also interesting to hear, you know, now being a mother who is an immigrant who now has to kind of pass on your culture to your kids. So I'd love to hear about, you know, your first experiences in motherhood and how that played out with your culture and your language and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. That was also difficult, I think, because so I married, my husband was born and raised in Ohio. He's been here all his life. He's American, as white as they come. He does not speak Spanish. He doesn't know how to dance. I mean, I don't know what I was thinking, right? I'm a person that loves to dance and I love music. And so that was a big part of that I wanted to bring into our family. Even though our kids were born and raised here, I wanted them to be proud of their heritage, to know that they are also Mexican. And so I think my mom also played a big part on that. She comes and she visits and, you know, every time she comes for Christmas, we make tamales and we're dancing. And it's just, I love that my kids are able to experience the traditions that I experienced as a child when I was in Mexico, even though they're not in my country. So yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful to see how they embrace both cultures as a whole.
Do you speak Spanish with them?
I do every now and then. So at home, my language, my primary language is English, mainly because my husband doesn't speak Spanish. So we just like, I don't know. And I guess because I've been here in the U.S. for longer, I just am more comfortable speaking in English. But they do know a lot of words. And I also homeschool them. So we do have a Spanish class. My goal is for them to be fully bilingual.
That's incredible. And I think also very valuable, because in the U.S. now Spanish is being seen as valuable, whereas in the past it might not have been. So that's incredible.
Yeah.
That you're able to do that. I'd love to hear about how you started your content. So what made you start your account? Like, what was the thing that pushed you? Was it a moment? Was it something that, you know, happened in your life that made you go, you know what, this deserves to be told?
Yeah, it was all kind of accidental. I just given birth. Actually, no, I was pregnant with my fifth child. And I just, you know, motherhood can be very lonely and it can feel very isolating. And so I was just kind of searching for a community of other moms who were like-minded. And I started an Instagram account, just kind of sharing my pregnancy journey. And then after my baby was born, I really leaned into the whole postpartum body positivity theme and was sharing, you know, that it's okay to have scars. It's okay to have a jiggly tummy, and it's okay that you don't have to erase your evidence of motherhood. And I had a particular post. It was a picture of me showing like my wrinkly tummy, and it was next to my baby. And I wrote a caption of how our bodies, female bodies, are so amazing and powerful, and the evidence that we hold in our bellies is just like a testimony of the strength and the power that we hold. And I really didn't expect for this post to really do anything than my 10 friends that I had on Instagram at the time, but it went viral and it got picked up by numerous magazines. And then Women's Health Magazine's Instagram account shared my image, and it was their most liked image of 2019. And so that picture was kind of like the door that opened and led me to a bunch of different opportunities. And my Instagram account just kind of like really grew a lot. And then I was like, okay, well, I'm going to, you know, use this opportunity to kind of use my voice and share my story and my journey. And it's been a lot of fun.
That's amazing. And in 2019, that's crazy how quickly it kind of grew, because I see your account and you really got a great community. I wonder if there's any highlights that you'd like to share from these many years of now being on social media and sharing your body.
My favorite thing about Instagram, by far 100%, is people DMing me and sharing their heart. I mean, there are women who confide in me things that are private and sensitive, and I just, the trust that they have in me is something that I value tremendously. Like, it's, I don't really care about the follows. I don't really care about the likes and the engagement. And I mean, I know it's important and it has its place, but it doesn't compare to a mom DMing me and sharing, "Hey, Brenda, like, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me? Can you offer some encouragement?" That to me means the world.
How does it feel to share the process of motherhood with the world? Like, was it awkward at first, or was it very natural for you? Did you kind of feel like you're kind of, I guess, allowing people to kind of step into your home? How did it feel when you started doing it?
It honestly felt kind of natural at first. I think at first I was just like excited, and I was like literally sharing every moment, sharing everything. Now, over the years, of just like experiencing social media as a whole and like how it's changed so much in the past 4 years, even, I've become, I guess, a little bit more private in a way. I don't necessarily share everything that I used to share in the past. Like, I'm not constantly posting 24,000 stories a day like I used to before. So I will say that I've become, I guess, more private than I was before. But yeah, it just felt natural at the time.
I'm curious about, you know, this is a lot about your heritage and how you pass it on and everything. But I'm curious about what being a Latina mom means to you. So in particular, how that informs the way that you raise your children.
Oh my goodness, that's an amazing question. And I hope I am able to answer it in a way that makes sense. But being a Latina mom, there's nothing I am more proud of. Like, it's probably like my biggest flex is being Mexican and then having 6 kids. Like, that's my whole personality. I don't know. I feel like being able to give my kids 2 different cultures, 2 different experiences, 2 different languages, 2 different ways of life is something to really be proud of. you know, my kids get to experience what it's like to be, to have a Mexican mom and to have an American dad, and to have both cultures intertwine in our daily life and literally everything we do, from how I respond to them to, you know, the music that we listen to the food that we cook, to the colors that we choose to decorate our home. Like, everything in our lives is like a trenza, right? Like a braid of being American and Mexican, and like how it becomes together. It's something really special. Very, very proud of it, and very excited to raise kids who appreciate two different cultures. And then they're able to pass that on to their, you know, their friends and whoever else they come in contact with in the world.
I love that. I'm curious if there's any one of your kids that has embraced the culture more than any other, because, you know, there's always like a variation.
Yes, absolutely. So I think my oldest two girls, and especially because they're older, I think they're able to like understand, appreciate it more. They love being Mexican. Like especially my second oldest, she's 11. She's the one that can actually have a conversation with me in Spanish. She loves, and she's very self-taught. She'll go on like Duolingo or like different language apps, and she'll try to like learn Spanish on her own. And she'll come to me and be like, and like if I say something in English, she'll be like, "Pero por qué, mamá?" And like she's just like answering me in Spanish all the time. And I love that. I love that so much.
Who in your family has inspired the kind of work you're doing the most?
Oh my goodness, all of them. Honestly, they all inspire me in different ways. My oldest daughter, she is extremely nurturing, and you don't have to ask her to help. She just has this willingness to serve, and she's very humble. And so she inspires me to cultivate that area of me. And then my second oldest, Veronica, she is very like assertive, very confident. And she also inspires me in that aspect. Like, you know, she doesn't care the opinion of other people. Like, I am who I am, and I love who I am, and that's, I'm going to run with it. And so I genuinely love that about her. She inspires me in that way. And then my oldest son, Sammy, he is very silly. Everything is a party. Everything is a joke. And so he inspires me to lighten up, to, you know, laugh a little, to be silly, to not take everything so seriously. And then, you know, my youngest, they are still developing their personality, but they all inspire me to be the best that I can be, not just for myself, but also for them, because I realize that the impact I have on them is really big, and I'll never really get to see the ripple effect of like my influence on them. And so I take that very seriously.
You know, I was just thinking about something when I'm hearing you. As daughters of immigrants, a lot of the time, we have these expectations from our families to do certain kinds of jobs, certain kinds of, you know, accomplishments to fulfill the American dream. You've chosen the path of being a mother and creating a family. I wonder, you know, how does your family feel about that? Because I think it's really interesting because they have the American dream, at least in my culture. I'm Colombian American. It's like, yeah, you have the American dream. We want you to be successful, but also, no matter what accomplishment you have, the first accomplishment is going to be making a family. So in the end, it's not one or the other. As a woman, you have to do both. So I'm curious, like, you know, what do you feel about that? How do you kind of, your American dream, what is it actually have become? And how does your family feel about how you've kind of built this life?
Yeah, I totally see what you're saying. I feel like there's a lot of pressure, especially on Latina women, to build a career and go to college and buy a home and be successful and have this high-end paying job, but also be a mom and cook for your husband and do all the things. So yeah, I can totally see that pressure. I think because my mom was a single mom, she'd already broken all the stereotypes back in Mexico. So I don't think that she moved to the U.S. carrying, I guess, that mold that the Hispanic culture puts in women. So she had already broken free from that. And that helped us not be raised, I guess, with that ideal. So I never had, like, I guess, a pressure to be something or become something. For my mom, success was always happiness. So if you are truly happy and content, then you are successful. And so I carried that in how I built my own family. Our goal is to truly be happy, but not like a, like an outwardly happy, but like a happiness that gives you peace with the choices that you've made in life. Knowing that there are no what ifs, there's no like, oh my goodness, I should have done this or I should have done that. Or I don't, because I chose not to go to college. And so I think because there's that pressure of like, you need a college degree to be successful, sometimes it comes in the back of my mind like, oh, you're just a stay-at-home mom, or you're just this. You know, there's always that little tiny voice. But there is so much confidence in the choices that I have made that led me to where I am, that I'm quickly to, you know, shush those voices. Cállense. I'm fine where I am. I'm happy. And like I said, it's a happiness that gives you peace. And so, yeah, in that sense, I don't know, I didn't really feel that much pressure to be something maybe that I didn't want it to be at the moment.
I love hearing you say that. I think that happiness is a really good dream to have. And actually, what you just said reminds me of something that I read and that I always come back to when I'm thinking about ambition and like that kind of drive to become something else that would be an accomplishment. And it's the more healed you are, the less ambitious you become, because you don't need that stuff actually. And I think your career as a mom and as a content creator is proof of that, because you're so accomplished in your own way and you don't need to find these other things. And the pressures of society have not had to, you know, step into that world. And you said cállense, and it's ciao, you know. It's
yes. Yeah, I love that. I love that quote. And I think honestly, our success, sorry, it can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. There is not like one way fits all. Some women, they just dream of having a career and being successful in that way. And that's totally fine and totally valid. And we should celebrate that. But then there's other women who, you know, just want to be moms and wives and attend to their families. And to them, that's successful. And so we should, like, that's valid and that's okay. And we should celebrate that too. I think we've sometimes society wants to like just pick one way, one lane. And it doesn't have to be that way. There's many ways to be happy. There's many ways to be successful, because we're not all the same. We all have different personalities.
Yeah. And you have six sources of happiness yourself.
Yes. Six little messy worlds.
I would like to ask you, you know, through all these years of everything that you've gone through and, you know, to come to this place where you're at and in your life, what is the thing you're most proud of in your journey?
Oh my goodness.
As a Miha, as a daughter of immigrants.
That's a beautiful question. So many things. I honestly look back into my life and I'm proud of so many things. I'm proud of overcoming fear of, you know, being in a brand new country, not knowing the language, not really knowing anybody. I think of how strong 12-year-old Brenda must have been. And I get like really teary thinking about it, because in the moment, I don't think it affected me as much, or I tried to not let it affect me. But now that I'm an adult, and like I said, my oldest is 12, and I think of everything that I've been through, I'm like, wow, like that's a lot. Like I wish adult me, 36-year-old Brenda, was with 12-year-old Brenda, holding her hand and telling her, you can, you know, you got this. And so I get emotional thinking about that. And it's something I'm extremely proud of just overcoming that. And then in motherhood, just proud of being able to pass that strength onto my kids and that experience, and seeing them be kind humans, genuinely kind, is something that it just fills me with so much joy. Because that's my goal as a mom. You know, I don't really care how they do academically, although it has its place, and we do homeschool, and, you know, we do have our academic goals, but that is not my priority. My priority is for my kids to be empathetic, to be kind, to leave people better than they found them. And when I see them do that, that's like, oh, I don't even know how to explain it. It's like my heart just like burst, and it's, there's nothing that surpasses that.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing all of these things about your experience. I think, you know, moms like you or mothers of a big family are invisible in media. And so when I found you, I was so excited because it's beautiful to see. And it's, you know, you're not hiding, and it's, you know, more than just the difficulties of it. You shine on the, you know, positive things of having a big family and having a family. And so, you know, thank you so much for being open and honest with everything that you've said. We're going to come out to the end of the interview now, and I'm going to ask you some quick speed round questions. So answer as automatically as you can, you know, whatever comes to mind first. All right. Okay. What language do you swear in when you accidentally touch a hot plate?
Spanish.
What is your favorite food?
Chiles rellenos.
What's the song you've had in your head this week?
Oh my goodness. Anything by Carla Morrison.
Oh, she's so great. I love her.
I love her.
What's your last Google search that you are comfortable sharing?
Oh my goodness. I think I was Googling something about like high fever because one of my kids was like sick this week.
Oh no. Are they okay now?
They're getting better.
Okay.
But it's that time of the year.
What is your biggest dream?
To own at least 5 acres and a house with at least 5 bedrooms. So each of my kids can have their own bedrooms and have 3 poodles.
That's a beautiful dream. I hope that you get that dream.
Thank you.
That's
thank
it. That's it. Thank you so much for your time, Brenda. Tell us where we can find you on social media.
So I am she_plus5 on everything. A quick little story about that. In 2019, after all of that got shared, I got verified by Instagram. And so since then, I've had another kid and I haven't been able to change my username. So even though I have 6 kids, I can't change my username. So I'm she+5 everywhere, even though I have 6.
That's incredible. Thank you so much. And one last thought for our Mijas out there. What is your advice to daughters of immigrants who might be scared to take the leap and tell their story about motherhood or about their hardships and about the beautiful things that happened to them?
That you are enough, that your voice matters and your story matters. And there's people out there who are waiting to hear your story. So use that fear, use that nervousness, and make it fuel your next step.
Incredible. Thank you so much, Brenda.
You're very welcome. Thank you for inviting me and letting me share my story. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. This is Mija on the Mic, a season of reflection on our shared experiences as daughters of immigrants. Over the next couple of weeks, I'll be sharing stories like these and inviting guests to share theirs. Follow us on Instagram at Mija Podcast, that's MIJA Podcast, and leave us a note if you like this story. Tune in every Wednesday for a new episode. This is a production of Studio Ochenta, a Latina-owned multilingual podcast studio dedicated to raising voices across cultures. For more from Studio Ochenta, follow us at Ochenta Podcasts on Instagram. That's OCHENTA Podcast with an S on Instagram. P.S. Don't forget this season is also about you. If you have a story you'd like to share, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show, I invite you to reach out on Instagram at Mija Podcast and leave us a message with a short story or memory of yours that warms your heart. We'll read it out loud on the show. Hasta pronto. Ciao.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Did you know that Mija has her own audiobook with exclusive and brand new material? It's called Mija Podcast, the audiobook, an exclusive and never-before-heard collection of memoirs and reflections by her creator, Lori Martinez, about what it meant to turn her own migration story into a fiction series. When you get Ochenta's audiobooks, you're directly supporting our independent audio series productions. You can find it on Libro.fm, Apple Books, Google Play, Storytel, BookBeat, and on your favorite audiobooks app. Also available in Spanish and French.